So we gather this morning for worship, and we gather this morning for the joy of a baptism in just a few, hopefully a few minutes. We'll see how long this goes now. And today is one of the traditional days of baptism in our church. There's four of them throughout the year, and today is the one in the wintertime when we celebrate Jesus' baptism, and so we have found it appropriate to baptize others on this day as well. And I really like this Sunday because I like preaching and talking about Jesus' baptism, because I think there's such significance and beauty and depth in what we are invited into and in what our lives are in the midst of our baptism and in our lives with Christ, our lives with God. And again, I'm not sure about you or how or what kind of context or culture or tradition you were raised in. But I, like I'm guessing many of you, since we're in southwestern Pennsylvania, was raised in the Roman Catholic Church. And I remember trying to learn it and being taught about baptism. And I'm sure I was taught lots of things about baptism when I was at CCD and things like that. But the thing I remember was a lot of talk about original sin and this need to be baptized so that that sin could be washed away. And I'm not sure if that's familiar to anyone else. I'm guessing you've probably heard that whether you grew up Roman Catholic or Protestant. I know a lot of people focus a lot on the forgiveness of sins in the midst of baptism. And that's appropriate because that's a big part of what baptism is about. The thing for me, though, is as I've kind of reflected and spent more time and learned more and more deeply about what our baptism is about and what we are called into through our baptism, I realize that one of the things I hope we can all avoid is getting stuck in that place. The forgiveness of sin is central to who we are. It's central to what we believe about Jesus and what Jesus has come to do for us on the cross in his death and resurrection. I in no way want to minimize the significance of what that is. The danger that I find, though, oftentimes, at least in the Protestant church that I'm most familiar with now, is that we tend to get stuck there on this idea that this whole thing is about the forgiveness of our sins, right? Because the goal is to get to heaven. Has anyone ever kind of been taught that or got that impression about church, right? Like, whatever we do down here, just don't mess it up bad enough that, like, God is angry with, or Peter, you know, doesn't have your name in the book or whatever, you know, whatever we're taught, however that story goes for you. And we get really caught up in this idea. I have people that will visit here from more non-denominational backgrounds. They'll visit every once in a while. And they always happen to visit on Family Service Sunday when we don't say the confession or the creed. And they always tell me about it. And I remind myself, I've given up this fight, but just because we don't say the creed every week or say the confession every week doesn't mean we don't believe those things. It doesn't mean that it's not part of our tradition or our lives. In fact, if you go through the Eucharistic liturgy that we pray every week, everything is in there. Like our repentance of sin, our receiving of God in Christ, our desire to be with God and to care for the world that we have been placed in and that we have been made stewards of, it's all there. I think we get really caught up in the mechanics of our faith, right? We've got to say the creed, we've got to do it the right way, we've got to be forgiven, then we've got to forgive one another in the peace, and then we are ready for communion. I've also met a lot of people that don't come up to communion sometimes because they just don't feel like, they feel like they've been particularly bad or something that week, or they just can't quite let go of something that they feel like they've done or that they're responsible for. And that's okay. I mean, if that's how you feel, I don't want to argue you out of that position or anything. But I do want, if that is something you have found yourself, a space you have found yourself in the past, I do want to make sure you understand that that's not how this works. The contract that God has made with us in our baptism, in our worship, and in this Eucharist is one of gift. It's one of being given the grace and the love, the righteousness of God in Christ. What we do here is not about what we do. It's about who we are and what we receive from God. Being a Christian is simply about receiving the free gift of God's grace and love. It's why we have no problem baptizing children, because we realize that child doesn't need to have some certain understanding before they're ready to be baptized. You don't need to have some certain understanding before you're ready to be baptized or ready to come to this table for communion. Because God has done everything for you already that needs to be done. We simply come with humble hearts and receive. You see, the thing about baptism is, if it was just about sin and the forgiveness of sin, why would Jesus be baptized? Has anyone ever thought that? I mean, one of the core tenets of our faith is that Christ was the sinless one who came among us, the Messiah, who was perfect, perfect man and perfect God, who died unjustly on the cross that we might live and know life, that we might know resurrection and forgiveness, and conquer death in the grave in the resurrection, right? When we say the creed most weeks, that's what we talk about. Why was Christ baptized? If what baptism is primarily about is the washing clean of sin, is the forgiveness of sin in whatever form. And what I would argue is that while that's part of it, the symbolism of being washed clean, when you read about John, remember that in the reading today, John's baptism is a baptism for the forgiveness of sins, but the baptism that Christ brings is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? And now we live in a day where both of those things are in one, that we both are cleansed of our sin, invited into the kingdom of God, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. But I think that's the piece that we need to remember. That piece in the story of the gospel today, where the Holy Spirit descends like a dove on Jesus and says, you are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. If you want to talk about what we are baptized into at this font, if you want to talk about what we do when we gather at this table, yes, it involves the forgiveness of sin, but if there's anything I want you to walk away with, it's the knowledge that what this is about is being welcomed into that same baptism that Jesus was baptized into. The baptism that when we rise out of the waters, when we receive the bread and the wine, the body and the blood, what we do is we receive the grace of God and we are declared righteous. And God looks at us and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. This is my son, this is my daughter, this is my child. In you I am well pleased. More than anything else, that is what this is about for me. And what I invite you to consider as we reflect on our own baptisms today, both in the baptismal covenant and in our time celebrating and supporting both Hope and her family and godparents in this act that we do. I know you hear it from me all the time, and maybe you're sick. I hope you're not sick of hearing it, because I just need to hear it all the time. But this beautiful thing that we do as the people of God, it's about gathering together to rejoice in what God has done for us. Too many of us spend too much of our lives kind of beating ourselves up for the things that we haven't done, or the things we were supposed to do and didn't do, or the things that we did do and we shouldn't have done, for that sin, that weight of sin that sits upon us, that we come looking for that confession to unload it at the cross. And again, don't get me wrong, part of the power of our confession and of the liturgy that we gather together for is the opportunity for, if there is something that weighs heavily upon us any given day or any given week, that we know we can leave it at the foot of the cross. That's where it belongs. Its place is not in weighing us down. Its place is not in crushing us, but in being set aside and being forgiven, that we might know the life that God calls us into. But even more than that is the life that is on the other side of that forgiveness. If our lives as Christians is just about being forgiven, doing the best we can until we need to be forgiven again, and then being forgiven again, if that's the cycle of the Christian walk that you're living in, I would really love to encourage and invite you into what is over here, past all that. This never stops happening, don't get me wrong. This isn't a weekly thing or a daily thing. This is a moment-by-moment thing, that we are going, you know, back into a place of repentance and a knowledge that we need God's love and grace, that we might have life. But what God has created us for is life, is love, is joy, and is peace. That's the promise that we are invited into today and always. I beg you not to get caught up and too focused on your own need, to miss out on why God has done away with all of that, that you might have life. What I want you to do, what God wants you to do, is to live into the fullness of the life that you have been created for. Whatever that is. You are all unique. You are all individual. You're all special snowflakes. Sorry. I mean, it's true. I mean, it sounds so cheesy, but it's true. I mean, like, the idea is you've been created for something. You're all individual. You're all unique. You all bring something beautiful and wonderful to this world and to this community. And far be it from me to spend my time up here telling you how you ought to live and how you ought to look a certain way. Because I want you to follow your heart. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit that lives within you, that has been given to you in your baptism, in our celebration. And I want you to follow where it leads you, where God leads you. I want the opportunity, and I'm so excited to be a part of your lives and to get to watch where God calls you and how God uses you in this community, in this place, and in the world. Because there are certain things that you are equipped for that I can't do, and the person sitting next to you can't do. There are things that hope is going to be able to grow into and live and do in this world that the rest of us cannot do. And we get to be a part of that with one another. We get to celebrate that in one another. And when you think about that being the life of the Christian, that would be our walk with Christ being about, right? How devastating would it be for us to get stuck in the cycle of sin and forgiveness? Again, that's a part of it, but let's not stay there. Let's remember that what this is about is being welcomed into the kingdom of God, being declared heirs, children of God, heirs with Jesus Christ. We are royalty in God's kingdom. Do you feel like royalty? How many people do a terrible job receiving compliments? Anyone out there as bad at it as I am? I know so many people, myself included, again, that are terrible at receiving compliments. And what ultimately I realize that's about is that when someone sees something in me that they see lovely or beautiful or complimentary and want to tell me, there is something in me that just refuses to believe them. How tragic is that? That my own view of myself is so low that I can't see the beauty that other people see in me. Some of the hardest work I've done in the last few years is just learning how to say thank you when someone gives me a compliment. You'd be surprised how hard that is for a lot of us. And it's an important thing. I hope you can recognize the beauty that lives within you, the beauty that the people around you that love you and care about you can see all the time. I hope that it isn't shadowed from you. I hope that you don't have blinders on from the things that God has done and is doing in you, because it's beautiful and it's incredible. And I'm so thankful to get to be a part of it with you. So as we continue to live on in this life, I hope that more and more what the Spirit is doing in us is just kind of working that forgiveness and that righteousness in us, that we can become more and more comfortable with it. So that when we are complimented, when we do see things that are in us that are wonderful and lovely, we don't feel the need to kind of hide it or pretend like it's not there, out of some sense of kind of false humility, but that we can celebrate and own the beautiful things that are inside you and me. I think that is a lot of what this thing called Christianity is about, as I understand it, as I read it in these texts and in these passages. The real work where the rubber meets the road is not in helping you get to heaven or something else down the road. It's about helping you to learn how to love yourself and one another in the day and the world here and now. Because this world is an incredible place when we live in that love. When we take ownership of it, when we share it, it is a powerful and transformative thing. And that is what we're called into in this world. That is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The opportunity to live in and live out that love and that beauty, that joy and that peace. And so in a minute, we're going to gather around this font. We're going to pour water. We're going to bless the water. And we're going to baptize the newest member of our church, the newest member of the kingdom of God. And yes, in it, her sins will be forgiven and she will be washed clean. But it does not end there. It is the beginning. It is our marking of the beginning of a life filled with transformation and love and righteousness that is given to her this day and always by our God who loves us. And when God looks at us, sees the perfect, beautiful, righteous child of God. And let us live into that more and more day in and day out together. Amen.